What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
We're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
You know it. Tim, we're supposed to talk about t-shirts now.
We are. Let's talk about them. So, we got some t-shirts. We actually got some new t-shirts coming in because, you know, we sold out of the last ones, gave them all away and all that good stuff. The cool things about these t-shirts are, one's gray, one's black, and that's it. No, I'm just kidding. But actually, all proceeds will go to nonprofit organizations. The three that we chose from are the Positive Tomorrows. Why am I going a blank right now, JP? Suicide Prevention and...
I like how you looked at me and I was just not giving you any
I know, help. That's what I was like, oh, forget you.
And Rain for sexual assault.
There we go. Why do I always forget Rain? Anyways, so basically the shirts are $20. If you buy them for $20, all proceeds, every single penny. We're not keeping a dollar of it. We do this for free for a reason. We're going to give it to the one of the three nonprofits that you choose from. If you don't have the $20, but you have social media, which we all do these days, if you invite 10 of your friends to our social media platforms, at The Positive Truth on Facebook, TPT underscore podcast on Twitter, The Positive Truth on Instagram, etc. If you get 10 of your friends, let us know. You can send us a text message, email, if you know us, whatever. It doesn't matter. Our email's thepositivetruth@gmail.com. You let us know there, send us some pictures, and we'll give you a free t-shirt. We gave away probably about 10 t-shirts in a matter of 2 weeks because people are adding their friends. Matter of fact, right before we came, I got a text message, and she said, you owe me a shirt. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I will see you on Monday.
About these t-shirts, though, the second generation of t-shirts look different than the first generation. So if you got the first generation, you got the OG t-shirt.
The OG t-shirts. I had a kid share the shirt on his social media platform, and everybody went wild. I want one of those. It was a really cool feeling, actually. I was just like, all right, guys.
Which social media platform?
Snapchat. One that we don't use.
Is that technically a social media platform, or is that just an app?
I think it's social media. I mean, I'm pretty sure it is. They got all kinds of stuff that goes with it. Who knows?
Showing our age.
No, when did we get old? So, yeah, that's basically it with our t-shirts. If you guys want one, let us know. But for the topic for today, JP, I'm actually excited to talk about this because I know JP is really passionate about it. We're talking about forced amateurism. Is exactly right. JP's about to get hot, and I'm excited for this, so you ready to jump right into this?
Are we talking about the Oklahoma weather or the topic?
I'm sorry, JP. We're definitely talking about this topic.
Don't say I'm sorry. We just did this before we started recording, where this exact interaction happened, except reversed.
Touche. I apologize.
But that's what we do on Fridays, on Monday and Wednesdays, uplifting and positive news. But this is the video Friday. Check us out on YouTube or Facebook with the video. But Tim, what is forced amateurism?
Well, an amateur defined by the NCAA is someone who has not profited above his or her actual and necessary expenses or gained a competition advantage in his or her sport.
These defined by who?
The NCAA.
Oh, so did you look up what amateur means, like, in general?
Amateur, somebody that doesn't profit from their sports, basically.
So basically you're an amateur if you're playing something that you can't, like, it's not profitable.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. So NCAA sports aren't profitable.
Woo, and this is where it gets nasty. This is where it gets nasty.
Why is this an issue, Tim?
Well, millions and billions of dollars are being made off of these student athletes' back, and they're not profiting from it. The only thing that they're getting is an education, what the NCAA is telling them.
An education, where they put them through 40 hours of athletic treatment, like 40 hours of like practice, which is 43 hours is more than a full-time job.
Exactly.
Push them to do majors that help with their school, with their football and basketball programs. Like, hey, you should be a farm major. You should do sociology. Stuff like that. No, engineering, no chemistry, none of that for you. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, true story. College athletes basically are generating billions of dollars for colleges, coaches, and even corporations that are selling their jerseys and making video games off of these student athletes. It's terrible because coaches are allowed to receive money from schools, athletic apparel camps, TV deals, radio shows, etc. They're allowed to make money from all different areas, but these student athletes are still allowed to get absolutely nothing.
But what are you talking about, man? I thought a scholarship, that's them getting paid. That's an opportunity.
You know, I was feeling the same way that you're talking about, like, for a while when I was younger. I'm like, what? Student athletes get an education, but as you get older, you start realizing all the hard work that you're putting in for this amount of time. And then whenever I did research for this, I mean, there's all kind of student athletes that are quoted saying all kind of things, like Shabazz Napier, who...
I didn't have enough food to eat because I was hungry. I just won an NCAA championship.
Not just one, but two. He won it his freshman year and his senior year.
I didn't even know that because I don't watch this crap.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Exactly. He does not watch college basketball at all because of this reason, because of the topic we're talking about. And Shabazz Napier, he plays for the Portland Trailblazers now, but in college he was talking about going to bed hungry. I actually have a quote that he said. We do have hungry nights that we don't have enough money to get food in. Sometimes money is needed. I don't think you should stretch it out to hundreds of thousands of dollars for playing, because a lot of times guys don't know how to handle themselves with money. I feel like a student athlete though. Sometimes there's hungry nights where I'm not able to eat, but I still got to play up to my capabilities. You're talking about one of the best basketball players in the nation in 2014 was going to bed hungry. But yet, his college won a national championship, and we all know the NCAA tournament makes billions of dollars.
They have a 970, basically $1 billion for each season. So every time you see March Madness, they're profiting $1 billion. That is what their contract says. It's like some crazy amount. It's basically $970 million a March Madness.
It's a ridiculous amount of money that's being made for student athletes that are playing, that we're watching. We know them by a first and a last name basis. We know what number they wear. We know what their face looks like.
You're buying their jersey. This doesn't have their name on the back.
Exactly. They're getting absolutely nothing but the companies that are selling these jerseys.
What is that? You got a hat on?
Nike.
Oh, so have you ever seen a student athlete like wear any Nike gear?
When they're playing, that's about it.
Yeah. So who gets paid for, like, let's say you got a football jersey on, it has Under Armour on it. Mm-hmm. Who gets paid for that? The teams or the players?
It's the teams.
Yeah. So how much are those deals? Like $10, $13 million to rock that?
More than enough, let's just say that.
You got any more things on there, Tim?
Man, why it's an issue? I mean, that's pretty much why it's an issue, man.
You can go to facts, good?
Let's go down to facts. All right, so I have some links about, you know, the top profitable sport programs, but we also have, I also was watching a video, actually, and this kid was talking about how people talk about college athletes receiving an education, but whenever I was in college, I failed my classes. I had a 1.3 GPA. They made me go to summer school, and I took these paper classes. One of the classes I took was Swahili. Don't know anything about Swahili. I cannot speak Swahili as of today. That's what he said in the interview. As of today, I cannot speak Swahili. That's what kind of education they're providing these kids, and it's completely wrong. It doesn't make any sense. I just wanted to bring that up because it hurt me big time. But facts-wise, if you look at total revenue for some of these schools, Texas A&M actually is one of the most profitable schools in 2015, 2016. They made almost $200 million, $194 million, $388,450. That right there in itself is enough money to take care of every student at Texas A&M, not just the athletes. So the fact that this school is making this money because of ticket sales, because of jersey sales, because of all these alumni that are coming back like, hey, I want to donate this money to this part of this school. I want to donate this money to make some new dorms over here. We have all this money. We're not giving it to these kids. It's ridiculous. I don't even want to bring up the word that I want to bring.
Bring up the Ed Bannon. I see that one on there.
Ooh, Ed Bannon. So Ed Bannon played basketball at UCLA. So he was at his friend's house, and his friend had a kid, and his kid was like, hey, check this out. I have a video game with you on it. So, you know, he goes over there, and he's like, oh, really? Let me check this out. He's playing this video game with the kid, and the kid reaches over and was like, hey, you know what sucks about this? And Ed's like, what? He's like, you didn't make any money off of this. Little kid, 9 years old, said this to him, and he was like, man. Later on, him and 19 other NCAA athletes, they sued. They sued at the NCAA, basically. Claiming the organization violated the United States antitrust laws by not allowing athletes to get their share of revenues generated from the use of their images in broadcast and video games.
So what you're saying is, I can play a basketball game, and he can be your exact same height, your exact same weight, have your exact same facial features, have your exact same number, have your game style, your handles, everything.
Left hand and all, everything.
And not get paid for it?
Exactly.
So why is that? Why is the NCAA like this? Because they're amateurs, right?
That's what they keep saying. Student athletes, which, you know, NCAA came up with that term, student athletes, to avoid a workers' comp claim. Exactly. So NCAA made up the term student athlete, and now they're still using it because it's still working, obviously, because these athletes still aren't getting paid. But a student athlete is not an employee. That's what the NCAA is basically saying. We shouldn't have to pay them. We shouldn't have to pay them for being a student. They're getting an education from one of the best schools in the world here in the United States. That's the NCAA talking right there. Now, being a former college student athlete, I wasn't an NCAA athlete, I was an NAI athlete. I didn't have time for even work study job. I mean, and I'm a cross country runner. I had morning practices, afternoon practices, then we would have a meeting, and then, you know, I have to eat in between there, have classes in between there, I have to study. And then on top of that, to get that volunteering workout in, there's no time for work. You're talking about 6 days a week. We were running seven.
Volunteer workouts?
Hey, volunteer with quotes, exactly. You know how
that is. So what happens if you miss these volunteer workouts?
I used to miss like once a month, and one time when I missed, I was actually at a furniture store with my mom. And my coach comes walking in after practice. You know, he's in his shorts and everything. Comes walking in this furniture store on the south side. I went to school in Edmond at Oklahoma Christian University. Walks in on the south side and was like, good to see you at practice today, McCoy. Then just walks away. And of course, I had to see him the next day, you know? So I'm just like, oh man, this is gonna be bad. And of course, he puts me on blast in front of the team. But yeah, volunteer workouts, you definitely get shamed if you don't go.
I mean, on two things of all the things you said, so North Carolina, they just won the NCAA championship this year in basketball. You know, want to know how much Roy Williams was paid in bonuses since his annual salary didn't include March Madness games?
How much did he get paid?
For six wins, he got $925,000. Six wins, Tim. He got $925,000 in bonuses. On top of that, you were talking about, so like the average student athlete, they have like 43 hours of practice each week. They get pushed around everywhere. Forced into certain majors, they still have to take classes, right? You know, most schools, the coaches get bonuses if they meet grades.
I did not know that.
Usually it's around $80,000. So Tim, you're a coach, right? Oh. Can you imagine if your kids made state and you made money and the kids didn't? Or imagine if your principal, like you all made state and your principal got paid and you didn't get paid, or the students, would you like that?
Exactly. You're right, I wouldn't. I mean, it'd be upsetting. Like, you had nothing to do with this right now.
You know that 40 out of the 50 states, their number one, like, official that gets paid the most in the whole state, like, government paid official, is the, like, head football or basketball coach? So, like, if you're working, like, if you're head coach of a team, you're making millions of dollars a year, and you have these, like, Nike deals, you do these Nike camps, bringing these kids in to help you recruit. That's kind of like Nike's paying you for you to recruit and for you to be good. Mm-hmm. But you're not getting any of that if you're the kid.
Nothing at all.
What happens if you're an athlete and you're like, hey, let me gift you. I like you, man. I do tattoos. I'll give you a discount. What happens?
What happens? Get kicked off the scene. Get kicked out of school.
You get suspended for it because you're a student athlete, you can't get paid in any way, shape, or form. We're in Oklahoma, right? You ever hear about the Pasta OU incident?
No.
So basically, they made OU students pay $3 in donations because they got $3 too large a size of pasta. That's how it works. There's numerous stories of athletes that have taken like, hey, I'll give you a free ride to the airport. They get that free ride to the airport, somebody finds out, it's like, hey, you're gonna get suspended unless you pay that in donations, it's like $70. Oftentimes NCAA rules prevent universities from being able to cover travel for players to visit home on the holidays. So you might get 24 hours that your family has to pay, and you have to be back for football and basketball practice.
And I actually read an article while doing research for this. An athlete at Baylor, a walk-on, was homeless. Stayed the night at somebody's house and they fed him a meal. It's the coach, one of the coaches, it was actually one of the coach's friends or something like that. Just let him stay the night on his couch, fed him one meal. Didn't give him any money or anything like that. NCAA found out about it and had to kick him off the football team because of it. he was homeless, didn't have anywhere to go. It's ridiculous to me. Like, the standards, like, there has to be some kind of line.
Like, if you're a student athlete, you get nothing. Like, nothing. You can't get a discount anywhere. If you accept money, you're done. There's so many instances of this that it's borderline crazy.
It's wrong. The only people that can profit from being the athlete that you are the university that you is the university that you go to. It's not right. I'm the one putting in that work. I'm the one that's representing this school. I'm not saying.
So what you're saying is, if the football players didn't show up to the football games, no one would make any money.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Huh? So why aren't they getting paid more than a $40,000 scholarship?
Why aren't they?
We can get into that. So I'm just gonna skip over all the horrible instances, because I feel like it's silly. There's two real big arguments, right? First one is, not all schools make $190 million off student athletes. Mm. That's the truth. So basically, about 44% of schools make $20 million or less in athletic revenues each year. 77% of schools make $50 million or less, and then there are like 24 that make $100 million or more. So if you're on the backside of that and you're like, hey, I only make $10 million off my student athletes, I feel really bad for you. I mean, you can't buy anything in America with $10 million, Tim. This feels so bad for you.
JP's being sarcastic, if you can't tell. I have issues with it myself. I've known him since I'm 12. I mean, that was sarcasm, guys.
it's just hard to, no. It's not money. That's not any money, man.
You're absolutely right. It's ridiculous whenever they say things like that. I was actually reading an article that some schools spend money to make it look like they're not making as much money, so they can say the money's going into expenses and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, because we have to make the newest practice facilities and the newest weight rooms and pay our coaches the most. That way we can get the best coaches. That way we can get more of you indentured servants that we can exploit and then send you off.
That's the angry JP I was looking for.
I saw the angry JP. That's the truth. That's what's happening.
No, that is.
It's indentured slavery. Like, slavery. That's all it is. You can only make it to the NBA or the NCAA basically if you go college sports through here. Or you can go overseas and maybe play basketball. There's been like 2-3 people that have ever done that. You really can't do that in football. There's no way you're making the NFL if you're like, hey, I'm just
gonna skip over college.
Yeah, like, how do you do that?
There's only been a couple guys that have played basketball or something in college and they're like, hey, I'm gonna try for the NFL, and they actually make it. That's them working out at the highest level of college. But
I think it's only certain positions, though, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Tight ends or something like that.
Also, like, most people don't realize with scholarships, they're on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, hey, I don't feel like you're good enough for this team. You got to go. You don't keep your scholarship. You're done. It's annually. It's not a 4-year scholarship. They can cut your scholarship and you're done. So it's not like whenever you're, like, I have 8 teams recruiting me. Well, can you guarantee a 3-year contract, 3-year scholarship for me? Because over here, they're only giving me 2. So if you give me 3, I'll come to your school. None of that. Every scholarship's on a 1-year basis. They can cut you at any point in time. What happens if you're one of the best players in the nation and you get hurt?
You lose your scholarship.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but you lose your chance to be profitable. You're only, like...
You're only good to them if you're healthy.
You're only good with sports with your healthy. And we all know that's not going to be forever. How many players can play past 35 in any sport? How many players can play till 30 in any sport? Generally, when you're 18, 19, 20, you're good. You're at your athletic peak. You don't have that many wear down injuries. So then you get to this college basketball thing, and they're making $1 billion off March Madness, and you're getting nothing. Why would you be engaged for this?
You're absolutely right, man. I feel like, I know we're not supposed to be giving our opinions, but I just feel like the system is, it's been going on for so long, nobody knows about any other ways. That's why it's so...
Well, that's part of the argument, because schools get paid differently, we can't pay all the student athletes. Or, if we pay the big argument is, if we pay the student athletes, then we have to pay them all. So we have to pay the volleyball girls, we have to pay the rowing team, all this other stuff. And that's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You ever heard of socialism, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
So in America, that's a bad word. We are all capitalists. There's some benefits to socialism. There's some benefits to capitalism. We're in between. Most people don't realize that. But in socialism, everyone gets paid the same, except the people up top, the government, right? Which is exactly what's happening with the NCAA, right? The schools, the universities, the presidents, the coaches, they're getting paid. No one else is making anything. So imagine you got a job at Google. Went to school 8 years, 6 years, doesn't matter. You're a hardware engineer. You work with algorithms. You make sure the Google search is up to point. And Google says, we can only pay you $30,000, $40,000 a year. And you're like, why? I'm an integral part. I'm an important piece. Well, because if we give you a raise, we have to give a raise to the janitor too. How would you feel? That's ridiculous, right?
I'm out of here.
So why do we have to pay the volleyball people the same we pay the basketball people? Why do we have to pay the football team the same we pay the tennis team?
So you feel like whatever your sport makes, that's it should be split up into those athletes?
Is that seems like it makes sense, right?
I mean, it makes sense.
So why do we have to put, so like, that's one of the counter arguments. We have to pay them all. Okay, you pay the volleyball team what they make in television profits. So if you go to, I only follow basketball. If you go to basketball school, middle of nowhere, where only one team makes the tournament, and you have a TV deal that's basically nil, maybe you divide that amongst all the players, right? So they might make $500,000 each year. You go to the Big 12, it's gonna be a little bit higher. ACC, it's gonna be a little bit higher. You make the tournament, that's $1 billion. In the NBA, it's divided 50-50 between the owners and the players. So let's just do $1 billion. I'll get my phone out. How many teams make the tournament, Tim?
64, 65.
Let's just say it's like 68, something like that. So 15 teams a player. I mean, 15 players a team, right? Times 68. Basically 1,000 something. Let's just say 1,200. Let's do $500 million divided by 1,200. That's $416,000 a player. That's just if you divide and the players get half. That seems fair, right? Because if the players don't play, nothing else happens. But no. We can't do that. That makes no sense, right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
So why do we have to like increase the salaries for everyone? I guess it's a simple, fair system. That's just something I just thought of right now.
Oh, no, you're good.
You know what I'm saying? So the CBS deal they got with Turner Sports for March Madness, it's $1 billion. If all the players that make the tournament get just 50% of that divided amongst themselves, $400,000, that seems fair, right? You don't have to give it to the volleyball players. Because if the players don't play, there's no March Madness. Think about the football deals. Football makes way more money. We're in Oklahoma. OU football is this thing that unless you live in the southern states, you don't fully understand. They make so much money off OU football. People buy OU, University of Oklahoma t-shirts. They do not support any academics of OU. They don't know what the engineering degrees are. They don't know about any of it. Well, you know what they do know? I do love me some OU football. Mm-hmm. Such and such retired, like Bob Stoops retired.
Everybody went crazy. People are
crying. Lost their mind.
Yeah, it was wild. Wow.
So like, I don't agree with that. So like, we had this system set up to where different universities can make $100 million, and other universities only making $5 million. Why do we have to pay all the players the same? Why do we have to give football players the same as the volleyball players? Makes no sense.
You're right. I hear you. It doesn't. They're just talking to cover up what they're trying to cover up, because somebody's making this money, obviously. There's a lot of money to go around.
And that leads us to what we always try to do is like, how do you change this topic? We can't change this topic unless we all decide not to stop watching it. Because if we stop going to the games, like as consumers, this is capitalism. We were just talking about that. If we stop supporting it, we say we're not going to watch college football. We're not going to watch college basketball. We're not going to watch college baseball until you start paying the players their due share. It'll change like that because then there's no viewers. That's not gonna happen. I can't talk people out of watching college football. This is Oklahoma. There is literally no way that's gonna happen. But you know who can change this?
The athletes?
The players, exactly. Can you imagine if the players just said, you pay us or we're not gonna do any bowl games. Or hey, you pay us or we're not gonna do any March Madness. So let's just, I'm just keep using the March Madness example. So you get there, everyone goes through everything. They go to tip off, they throw the ball up in the air, and they just let it fall, and they just walk off the court. What happens for the next 3 hours?
A lot of angry people. It's all over social, or all over media, social media, everywhere, mainstream.
It's everywhere. This is America. We care more about our sports than we do our politics. We care more about March Madness than we care about our president lying to us every day. Think about that.
It's true.
We don't even know who, like, most people don't even know who, like, who runs the State Department, but we can name every player on the Golden State Warriors. That might be a problem in general, but if that happens, what they have 3 hours of programming to fill. They have tons of people that filled out all these ballots. They're placing all these wagers. They're, like, disappointed and mad and angry. They have people that are sitting, like Charles Barkley, knows he hasn't watched any college basketball. He's getting paid by turns, so he has to do all these games. You have these analysts that have either played basketball at the college level or just they're getting paid, and they're sitting there getting paid by CBS and Turner, like, we can't say that these kids are doing the right thing because we're getting paid by Turner, but we also have 3 hours to fill to talk about this. Oh, this is awkward. We're making money off exploiting these kids. Everyone is. All these TV businesses are. Imagine if they did that for football. No bowl games. You're going to pay us. We're not going to do any bowl games. They kick off the football. They just let it drop and everybody walks off. This has happened before.
Really?
NBA. Oh, 1964. They're at the All-Star game. It's a different league. Will Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Bob Pettit, Bill Russell. Everyone's there. This is the foundation of the league. They don't feel like they're getting paid enough because they just started a union. They don't feel like they're being represented accordingly. You know what they did? They said, we don't negotiate a new labor deal, we're not going to play the 1964 All-Star game. Not everyone in that locker room was happy about this because they got major bonuses for this All-Star game. This is back 64. This was, NBA was the Black League. It was like the fifth major sport. It was under hockey, baseball, football, and golf. It was the Black League. No one liked it. No one liked the fact that they were playing all these black players all of a sudden after Bill Russell, after 1957. No one liked that. So you have all these athletes in there, and they're going to get this massive paycheck because the one game that's going to be on television is the All-Star game. This is their big marquee NBA event. The players and owners aren't making any money in the NBA. So they need these players to play this game. And so they said in that locker room, they said, we're not going to go play. You're going to lose millions of dollars unless we negotiate a labor deal right now, because we've been talking to you all about it. You've been pushing us off. You know what happened? The owners were like, yes, we negotiate. Let's do it. Please go play. So then they ran out there. And so now you have people like Oscar Robertson. He was sitting in there. He was sitting in that, like, labor union. It was his idea. When it happened, he's the reason everyone's getting paid now. He's the reason for free agency. He's the reason Kevin Durant can change teams, LeBron can change teams. It's all because they stood for what they believed in.
That's what you feel like these student athletes need to do now.
It's going to be a lot harder. It was only 24 All-Stars. There's a lot of student athletes. But if they organize, like we always talk about social media. Mm-hmm. If they organize on social media and they just say, we're just not going to play, it's over with.
Man, the way it works too, it's possible to do, especially in today's age. With AAU basketball, these kids are seeing each other from the age of like 13 all the way until they're 18, 19, and those actually do make it pro, they're seeing each other in the pros too. So it's not like it was back in the day where we all know who the best player in the state is, but we don't know who the best player in the state of Texas is. Because the way social media is and the way AAU basketball is, these good players are teaming up and they're going and they're playing with each other for 5-6 years before they even get to the pros. So, I mean, they could talk about this, get it done.
You don't even need all that. You just need to unionize. That's all it is. Like, we feel like we're a working body of student athletes. We, like you said, student athlete wasn't even a word until the NCAA existed. We're going to create a union. If you don't let us create a union, we're not going to play. I'm pretty sure there will be a lawyer that will be willing to represent these student athletes and get some money. All you have to say is, like, the math I just did, like, there's 1,200 basketball players playing in this March Madness. If you just give us $500 million, that's $400,000 a person. How many, like everyone says, but you're getting a college education. That's going to pay you over a lifetime. It will. You're probably going to get a job that will pay you somewhere in between $30,000 and $70,000 when you get out of school. But we just talked about student athletes. they're not getting majors to pay them well. So they might get into a major that's paying them, let's say, modestly, $50,000 a year. So if you were $400,000 in one March Madness run, $50,000 over 10 years is the same amount of money, mm-hmm. a little bit more. So they're maximizing their profits immediately. You're not always going to be able to make that kind of money. That's why they need to do it now. So yeah, like, oh yeah, they're getting a college education. That's going to pay them over a lifetime. If they go to school for 4 years as a football player and they make, let's say, $1.2 million because they're going to some major school and they're always playing some championship, they're going to Alabama. They're an offensive lineman and they go to like four massive bowls. They get paid off the SEC deal. They might make them $800 million. Might take them 30, 40 years to make that same kind of money with their college education. That's why we need to pay them.
I agree. A lot of these athletes are having to choose their sport or their passion, because not everybody's passionate about the sport they play. They may have like a passionate draw and they can't take the right art classes because that class is going to be too hard for you. So let's come back over here, take this communication class, and let's get this easy A so you can play for me and I can make this $3.2 million. That's how it's really working. And I hear you 100%. I'm agreeing with you, man. I love hearing you talk about it because I know how angry you are about the subject.
I mean, that's all it would take. All it would take was them to just strike. They strike once, it's over with. You get a lawyer, there's going to be a lawyer in America that's like, yes, I will go for your defense. You negotiate a deal, you're saying we're not going to do any more bowl games, we're not going to do March Madness until you pay us accordingly. All of a sudden, you get these kids, instead of them playing 1 year in the pros and then bouncing to the NBA, they may be like, I'm young, I'm having fun, I'm on a college campus, and now I'm making $200,000 to $400,000 a year doing this. I think I will stay and get my education just to protect me from the league. And you get a better college basketball product. You get a better college football product. And they actually get the money they deserve. Instead of them being like, oh, I'm going to walk out here in Nike and Under Armour and these football pads, I might get a concussion that ruins my life, because we all know how awful those are, because these football players are basically killing each other. And at least I'm getting paid for this. But now it's just like, hey, I might go out here and tear my ACL and never make the pros. I get this bad degree, just got cut from my scholarship because I can't support the team anymore. So to finish my education for 2 years, I need to have $70,000 in student loans, which puts me more behind than when I started.
It's a messed up system.
Indentured servitude. That's how we're treating these kids. So this is going to come out a little bit before college football season. Just something to think about. Just a thought before you go to these OU football games and tailgate or whatever you do. I really have no idea about football anymore. I have not supported so far.
Man, I hear you.
But that's how you change it. We, as listeners, don't watch it. And the players strike. That's how you change. And whenever these strikes happen, everyone, like, there's a lockout in the NBA. The 1994 MLB, they just were like, they had a strike because the owners went after salary cap because they felt like they weren't getting paid enough money. The players like, there's not going to be a World Series. We're not going to play. And that's what happened. Now there's no salary cap in baseball. The players got what they wanted. They protected their rights because they basically did a strike. NBA players do lockout all the time. It protects them. The most profitable sports in the NFL, right?
Right.
They don't have any guaranteed contracts. That is awful. Think about it, Tim.
That's terrible.
So you're playing the most violent sport in the world, the one that has the most long-term injury issues, just concussion-wise. Like, some people can be okay with it. Most people are just, Like, you know someone that played in the NFL. You saw how concussions did him. And they don't have guaranteed contracts. So you can sign this, he signed a $20 million deal. But they cut him after 1 year, so he only got $5 million of it. Because he got hurt because he tore his shoulder trying to tackle someone, and he came back and got a concussion and couldn't play. But he's probably had like 8 concussions. They just kept throwing him out there. So this one's so bad, now he really can't play. And that happens in college, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not getting paid for it.
Yeah, you guys got to quit putting your lives on the line for free. For real. For real.
But the reason they're doing it is that's the only path in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly right.
So it's indentured servitude. It's slavery. It's indentured slavery. Like, to make the NFL, you have to put in 2 to 3 years at this school where you're not going to get paid and you might hurt yourself. But we'll give you an education. And then you get to the NFL, and the average career is like, oh, 4 years. And you get there and you make, let's say you make $2 million, when you could have made $1 million these 4 years you played football here where you got messed up, so now you can't play a long NFL career.
I mean, there's a misconception of people thinking that all football players in college are going pro.
It's like 1.3%.
Yeah, it's less than 2% for basketball. It's 1.2 for basketball, 1.6 for football. I mean, it's less than 2% for those sports. And those are the mainstream sports right there, basketball and football. So for people to think, oh, they're going to college, or their school's paying for their education, that should be enough. They have a chance to go pro. Well, like, no. The kids that do go overseas and play basketball, they're playing to survive, basically. And then kids that stay here that actually make it pro to the NBA or NFL, they're getting paid, and most of them only make it in the league for 2 to 3 years max. And then they're gone back to a regular job working at who knows where, because their degree doesn't provide them a real job because it's some random degree in Swahili.
I don't know anything about NFL contracts, but in the NBA, they have this thing called a rookie scale because of guys like Derek Coleman and Chris Webber. So it used to be, if you got drafted in the 90s, you can negotiate your own contract from the get-go. So if you could be a rookie and get paid the most on the team, they have a rookie scale now, so where there's a limit on how much you're paid your rookie year. So your first 3 years in the league, you can only get paid, for like the first pick, like $5 million. It used to be like two. And then you get an extension, but it's restricted free agency, so everyone signs it because it's like, hey, sign for us for $8 million. The Oladipo deal, 4 years, $80 million. Because if he doesn't sign it, he gets paid $1 million and he gets free agency next year and he might not get the same kind of money. Or he might get hurt and he'll definitely not get that kind of money. So then you're locked into this team for 7 years.
So you have options as a professional.
You have barely. You don't have options in the NBA until basically your seventh year. So you're locked into a rookie scale where you're not even maximizing your profit there. So you can literally, if you're a basketball player, you can go from 19 to 22 getting paid a fraction of your worth and then sign a restricted free agency deal, which is basically handicapped to benefit your home team. That's why like Gordon Haywood, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, they always stay with that team. They always sign that deal for their home team for like 4 years. Most people don't realize like they almost have to. That's how the system works. And then when they hit that seventh, eighth year, that's when they hit the gate. That's when people leave. That's why Gordon Hayward left this year. Because he was after his seventh year, he finished his restricted free agency. He finished his rookie scale deal. So the system is doubly screwed for athletes. But if you're in college, you're not getting anything. At least in the NBA, you're getting this rookie scale, you're making $2 million. You're making nothing in college. It's awful. I'm done.
See, this is why we gotta pay the athletes, guys. This is why we gotta pay the athletes. JP's not the only person this passionate about this subject, and that's exactly why we wanted to bring this up, show some awareness to everybody out there.
If you want to read more, there's The Shame of College Sports that came out in 2011 on The Atlantic. There's a Viceland documentary about it. There's like a whole article, basically they killed it. It's called End of Amateurism documentary. It debuted in March, April, sometime a few months ago.
It's pretty new. There's stuff all online you can find about forced amateurism.
Or you can just Google NCAA profits and then Google athletes getting kicked out of NCAA for silly reasons. And have fun with that. But yeah, this is how we change it for the better. We either stop watching or the players strike. And when the players strike, now you'll understand why. That was the goal of the podcast.
They don't get paid, but somebody is.
Everyone except them.
Indubitably.
You have a positive quote, Tim.
I don't even have a positive quote to go with that. I mean, I'll look one up while you tell everybody where you can find this. You have a quote?
Yeah.
I'll tell everybody where to find it. You can follow us on Facebook at The Positive Truth Podcast, on Twitter at TPT_podcast, on Instagram at The Positive Truth. You can find us on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Email us at thepositivetruth@gmail.com. If you want a t-shirt and you've got those 10 followers, I was going to say something else.
A quote?
No, what's his quote? Oh yeah, on Monday and Wednesday we do uplifting positive news where JP's not this angry. That's what it was. So positive quote is, your beliefs don't make you a better person. How you treat people for the better does.
I read that like this morning, I think. That's so crazy. Sorry, that just blew my mind. I'm like, what is going on right now?
In sync, Tim. In sync.
Well, on that note, man, you guys stay positive.
We out.